You're listening to the Boss Yourself First podcast, bonus episode 3. If you want to be an effective leader, the first person you want to lead effectively is yourself. Self-leadership helps you create better relationships and a more fulfilling life, and in turn, lead others in a more authentic and impactful way. If this piques your interest, then stick around. I'm Robin White, your host, and this is Boss Yourself First. Welcome, friends. I hope you're doing well. We're having a snowy day here in Colorado, and that's pretty fun. We haven't had snow for a while. In fact, a couple of days ago, it was like 65 degrees. So hey, this gets us in the spirit of the season, I think. Well, I hope, as I said, I hope you're doing well. I have really enjoyed these bonus episodes talking about our COVID Christmas or COVID holiday celebrations, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from you guys. In fact, I've gotten so many comments and questions recently from listeners and clients around self-leadership in a COVID Christmas. I just wanted to spend some time answering a couple of questions, and I thought it might be something that we could all benefit from together. So here we go. Now, I've changed the names on the questions, but if you reached out to me, I've probably already connected with you, but you'll know who you are. And like I said, I've changed the name, so no worries. And if any of you listening have a question or a struggle you'd like my support with, reach out. You can email me at robin@bossyourselffirst.com, or you can Facebook message me or DM me on Instagram. We could also connect on LinkedIn. There are so many ways to get in touch. You do not have to go it alone, my friend. All right. The first question today is from Karen. And she says, I've been super conservative during the pandemic because I live with a high-risk person. I'm really struggling with the upcoming holidays. I love to give gifts, but I don't want to go to the stores as our metro area is really spiking with COVID. I hate online shopping. It's so hard to really know if you're getting something quality, and the technology frustrates me. I hear you, Karen. I'm so sorry. I feel your pain. I think I have mentioned before how gifts are my love language, and that also means I love finding just the right gift for my people. It's how I express love. Sounds like we might be a little similar in that. And it sounds like you're feeling frustrated because part of your seasonal joy comes from finding great gifts for people you care about. And I'm guessing it's not just the gift, but the process of the treasure hunting that gives you energy. I'm also thinking there might be a few extrovert tendencies in your makeup as well, and you get jazzed by just being in a store with other people. This is a hard season. Anytime when we feel blocked from doing something we love for the people we love, we're going to get frustrated. First, I recommend checking to make sure you're managing yourself. Good self-care, monitoring those thoughts to see if they're serving you, and processing your emotions as they show up. And these are things we've talked about on the podcast. So if you want a refresh, go back and listen to some of our episodes from season 1. Then ask yourself why it is you're giving the gifts. What do gifts communicate to the people you love? And when you kind of get down to those, and that's kind of that same idea of what's the core value, what's the main message of the holiday season for me, once you get a little clearer on that, then think about how can you communicate that in a different way? Or are you willing to deal with shopping online to communicate your love and care for the people in your life? By asking yourself these questions, you open up to different approaches and some extra energy resources to do the things outside your comfort zone. So that might help you get the energy to take on that online shopping, or it might give you some new ideas to get creative about making things for people or writing a specific letter to each person. Just some different approaches to communicate what it is that gifts normally communicate for you. Well, if you're going to slay the dragon of online shopping, get going, because you're running out of time. And I'm not trying to up the stress. I'm just saying online shopping, you have to allow for some shipping things, and maybe that can give you a little extra motivation to get in there and get it done. At this point, I recommend just shipping straight to the recipient instead of being the middleman in the process. And if you're like me, you like to get the gifts. You like to see them and make sure they're good and maybe package them or wrap them in a certain way. But we're getting close enough to Christmas. It'll ease your stress to just ship them straight to the person. Something else to consider is where you're shopping. So pick places that reduce your stress. And I'm talking about even online shopping. So one example, of course, is Amazon. And I know it's not as fun, but you could have your beloved family and friends create an Amazon gift list. So they do the work of finding exactly what they want on Amazon, and all you do is click the link, make sure you're shipping to the right address, and pay. Done. This does take a lot of your fun of finding the unexpected gift for them, but this might be the year to take a new approach. Another way you can reduce online shopping stress, if you still want to pick something out for your family and friends, is choose someplace with a generous and easy return policy. My favorite is Nordstrom's. There's not really a time limit on returns. They offer free shipping. You can return through the mail or in person. And if you call and talk with them, you're going to find a kind and courteous person on the other end of the line. That's been my experience anyway. And honestly, Nordstrom's can be pricey, but when they have a sale going, and they do, and they price match as well, you can find some real deals. So thinking about where you're going to actually do your online shopping can help with the experience of that as well. Another option for things that you can deliver personally is shopping online for curbside pickup. So this takes some of that shipping stress out of the picture because you're just going to roll up and they're going to bring stuff and put it in your trunk and then you're done. Another thing you might find helpful is leveraging constraint. Now, constraint is basically a self-imposed limit. And we're going to spend all of our second season talking about constraint. So it's on my brain a lot because I'm planning our second season. But constraint can be really helpful here. I think this is a great example of how helpful constraint can be. You could focus on, for example, small things. Maybe you're going to do small purchases instead of trying to buy something big online. Another constraint option you might choose is limiting your gifts to one category. For example, you could choose food items. I'm only going to gift food items this year for Christmas. When you choose a constraint, it protects you from the overwhelm of so many options and so many choices. So however you've been getting your food, you could simply either add to your order food items to gift, or if you go to the grocery stores all masked up, then you could just throw those extra items into your basket to give as food gifts. If you like to cook, you could make food gifts for those you love, or you could buy a subscription to a food gift like fruit or cheese or coffee so that your people get gifts all year round from you. But by choosing a constraint, it can help with the overwhelm of Christmas this year and the overwhelm of online shopping. I hope that helps, Karen. I feel your pain, and I hope this gave you some ideas of some different approaches you could try, or at least how you could get some energy to take on that online shopping. I also hope you'll let me know how it's going. I would love for you to check back in. Okay, the second question I want to address today is from Jennifer. And Jennifer says that she's really struggling with her emotions this season. She says, I love the holidays and our big family gatherings. Going to concerts and going to the Nutcracker is one of our yearly traditions. I find myself teary every time I think about not seeing my family this year. I also fly off the handle so easily these days. This is supposed to be a season of hope, and I'm just not feeling it this year. Jennifer, I'm sorry that you're struggling. Please know that you're not alone. We are all facing challenges like we've never experienced due to the pandemic. And some challenges we face all the time, and we never seem to be able to just totally overcome them. They may not even be pandemic-related. But first, know that struggling with emotions can be difficult at any time, but especially at times where we have a lot of connection or even trauma, which means around the holidays. And I want to be really clear that if you're having thoughts of harming yourself, you need to reach out for more immediate support than I can give right here. I'll put a link to the National Helpline in the show notes, but you could also consider letting someone who lives with you or near you know that you're having these thoughts, that things are intense enough that you're actually considering hurting yourself. Think, if you will, just for a minute about these intense, potentially even self-harming thoughts as something along the lines of when you're swimming and you get an intense cramp. It's really painful. It's temporary. It won't last forever, but it can be life-threatening. And getting immediate help, like a life preserver, is what you need right now. Then, once you're safely out of the water, you can then get some strategies to deal with these intense thoughts, or if you carry out our analogy, to deal with the swimming cramps. Strategies that would help you avoid them, or things to do when they show up. Holidays during a pandemic are bound to leave us more vulnerable to strong emotions. Get immediate help. There is no shame in that. It's the smart thing to do. However, Jennifer, if you are just feeling unusually weepy or easily angered, or you find yourself with very low frustration tolerance, well, first I want to say welcome to the club. Anytime something we hold dear, like family members or long-standing traditions, or like with Karen, gift giving or even shopping for gifts at the holidays, anytime those things are blocked or threatened, we get emotionally triggered. As I said with Karen, first, make sure your self-care is operating at a high level. You're getting good sleep and good food and exercise. But here's another area you might not have considered, your input. So, and I'm going to get a little in your business a little bit, but I'm also in my business saying this, but are you watching a ton of Christmas movies with big family gatherings and lots of traditions? I know, ouch, I'm a huge movie fan, so don't get me wrong, but I'm just wondering if watching some of those might be continually focusing you on what you can't have this year. What if you take in some books or movies or shows or, hey, podcasts that change your focus? That help you connect with times and stories where people have come through hard times and even though they were separated, came together again and had, yes, a happy ending. And I know that not all endings are happy, but we're going for the season of hope. We're going for a boost of hope. So you could also just tune into some sitcoms and get some laughter flowing. It doesn't mean you have to give up Christmas movies. That would be a really big ask for me. But consider other options, like maybe even White Christmas. It shows life after the war, that good times and traditions can return. I'll put a couple of suggestion ideas in the resource section on the website for this podcast episode. But consider your input as part of your self-care for the season. And remember to exercise that input self-care for mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Okay, another suggestion for you is to get intentional about connecting in traditional and non-traditional ways. Maybe it's sort of a hybrid approach. You mentioned that the Nutcracker is part of your annual tradition. I'm assuming, since you said we, that you go to the ballet with family or friends. What if you stream the PBS performance on a Zoom watch party? Everyone bring their own snacks, or everyone make the same recipe, and then eat and watch the performance together, and when it's over, talk about your favorite parts. And talk about what you're looking forward to the next time you get to physically attend the Nutcracker. The last thought I have for you, Jennifer, is to borrow some emotional energy from your future self. This is a strategy I use, and frequently I work through a variation of it with my clients. Spend some time visioning a little out in the future. Now, you can decide how far forward to go, but you want to connect with your future self, and I would recommend, at least at first, don't go too far forward. You don't want it to feel unattainable. Let's say, for example, you look to your future self in February. Chances are the pandemic will still be with us, as the vaccines won't be fully distributed yet, but more and more people you know will be getting the vaccine, and the COVID hospitalizations will be dropping. The number of new cases are dropping, and more vaccines are coming. Really steep yourself in the things your February self will be experiencing. Christmas decorations are put away, and you're feeling good about the connections you deepened during the pandemic. You think about Christmas, and it was different but good. In fact, you got creative and established a new tradition during the pandemic that you're going to keep up in the years going forward. You smile, and you send a message back to your December self. What would that message be? Now, you'll have your own message, but for me, my future self is telling me to relax, to shake the tension out of my shoulders, and lean into connecting with my family and friends. I'll get to be with them in person soon. My future self is telling me to remember and record my feelings during this historic time so I can tell my grandchildren what it was like, just like my granny told me about living through the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression. My future self also tells me that she's proud of me for doing my very best in a difficult situation. And she tells me that I'm stronger than I think I am. Once you've got the message from your future self really clear, write it down and post that note where you can see it often, whether that's in your phone or on your bathroom mirror, on your computer. In that way, you're borrowing some energy and strength from your future self every time you read that note. Jennifer, I hope you found this helpful, and I would love to hear how it's going. And once again, if any of you out there have some challenges that you're facing, you don't have to go it alone. I would love to support you. Reach out and connect. In the meantime, friends, I wish you a very Merry Christmas. Take good care of yourselves and those you love, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you found something to grab hold of and apply in your life. As always, any link or information mentioned in this episode can be found at bossyourselffirst.com in the podcast section. And if we haven't connected yet, and I would love to, DM me on Instagram at bossyourselffirst or come to the Boss Yourself First Facebook page and let me know how you're doing and what you think. I would really love to meet you. Thanks for being here and being you. Now get out there and lead with courage and kindness and boss yourself first and add your amazingness to the world. We sure need it. Talk to you soon, my friends.